Principles of Economics, My Complete Guide to Understanding Economics, is now available in hardcover, audiobook, and ebook from SaifEddin.com, Amazon, and many more booksellers worldwide. And now, I am also teaching a course based on this book on my website, SaifEddin.com. Principles of Economics will run the whole academic year, from September to June, and will have a new lecture every 2 weeks, as well as weekly live online discussion seminars open to learners from all over the world and from all walks of life. Whether you're a student, a professional, or a retiree, you are making economic decisions every day, and this course will arm you with the wisdom of centuries of economists to improve your economic decision-making. You'll also get a free book of Principles of Economics if you sign up for the course. Go to SaifEddin.com and sign up now. The Bitcoin Standard Podcast is brought to you by Orange Pill App, the Bitcoin-only social network that connects you with high-signal Bitcoiners, events, and now merchants as well. If you're like me and can't stop talking about Bitcoin, you know how challenging it can be to talk to the no-coiners and how nice it is to talk to someone who gets you. With the Orange Pill app, you can find the Bitcoiners near you and they can replace the no-coiners in your life. You can organize events and meetups with local Bitcoiners, and wherever you travel, you can meet up with local Bitcoiners all while being as anonymous as you like. So if you want to build your local network of Bitcoiners, find a Bitcoin meetup or merchants accepting Bitcoin, head over to orangepillapp.com to sign up or download the app from the App Store or Google Play Store and send me a DM so we can get connected. The Bitcoin Standard Podcast is brought to you by CoinKite. CoinKite are my favorite makers of Bitcoin hardware. They produce the legendary OpenDime, the first Bitcoin bearer asset, as well as the reliable Cold Card hardware wallet, the excellent stainless steel seed plates for storing your seed phrases, and the block clock. Now, CoinKite have produced the Sats card, a card the size of a credit card which can store Bitcoin and works great as a gift. CoinKite have just produced a limited edition gorgeous Bitcoin Standard Sats card, which carries the Bitcoin Standard logo, and you can get it from coinkite.shop/Bitcoin Standard. Use the code Bitcoin Standard to get 5% off your purchase. This podcast is also brought to you by the Bitcoin Way, your professional Bitcoin IT team offering you personalized, secure, and comprehensive solutions for every step along your Bitcoin journey. The Bitcoin Way offer live concierge service to guide you with your Bitcoin cold storage, running your node, privacy best practices, inheritance planning, corporate strategy, and multi-sig solutions. They don't touch your coins, they guide you through the process of acquiring your coins and securing them. If you'd like to make your setup safer and more reliable, book a consult with them and see what they have to suggest. If you want to give someone the gift of Bitcoin, get them this professional service that will ensure they start off knowing exactly how to manage their coins and not lose them. Go to thebitcoinway.com and start Bitcoining more confidently. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Bitcoin Standard Podcast. Our guest today is Niko Lamanen. Niko is the founder of Consensus Network. It's the first Bitcoin-only publishing house. Consensus Network is a privately owned company that operates as a hub between authors, license holders, translators, and distribution and production channels. Niko's Consensus Network have published the Bitcoin Standard in 10 languages and are working on translating the Fiat Standard to 9 languages and the Principles of Economics textbook, which I'm working on and I haven't finalized. They are already working on making 9 different translations of it. So I, of course, am very glad for all the work that Niko has done and all the incredible effort that he has put in to making my book available. And I wanted to host him today to discuss his work with the Consensus Network, what it's like to be publishing in Bitcoin across so many languages, and the unique idea that Bitcoin allows us this community of people all over the world who are interested in this topic that Niko can publish for. Niko is based in Madeira and is head of the education at the Free Madeira Project. It's a project advancing the adoption of Bitcoin in the semi-autonomous Portuguese island territory. So Niko, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Saif. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invite.
So let's begin a little bit by talking about you personally. What got you into Bitcoin? How did that change you and how did that inspire you into getting into Consensus Network?
Yeah, well, that's kind of a long story, but I guess it's true for everybody.
That's what we're here for.
Originally, I heard of Bitcoin as early as 2010 from my mother, which was a weird thing. We went to this mini golf course in Finland in city that she went to school with. Some tech students were running the mini golf and they were accepting Bitcoin. So there was like this small sign, Bitcoin accepted. And I was just, you know, thinking out loud, what the hell is Bitcoin? And funnily enough, she knew that it's like this internet currency or this internet money. And but that was the extent of the knowledge at that time. However, being a huge computer nerd and into all kinds of weird things, I actually downloaded the client and I ran it briefly, the Bitcoin client in 2010 summer, just to play around with it. I was doing my master's at that time. So then life got into the way and it was time to grow up and stop playing with stupid magic internet money and graduate and go to the fiat, you know, hamster's wheel. So that's what happened. After that, I got back kind of like, I got interested again because I was playing Magic the Gathering, which I don't know if everybody knows, but Mt. Gox is actually originally for trading the Magic the Gathering online game currency, which are these like event tickets. So I was playing that game. I still play that game. So that's how I found out about Mt. Gox. And I was just, my curiosity was piqued again. I looked at Bitcoin. It seemed like really scammy and risky. I didn't really want to get into that, but I was curious. And then maybe 2014, I think I made my first purchase. I bought some Bitcoin and I bought some stuff online, some stuff. What piqued my interest at that time is like about a year after I had some change left in the wallet that I used to make that purchase. And then that change, that pocket change was worth more than the original purchase I made a year before. So it was like it coincided with some kind of a spike. So that was like, hold on a second, like, how can I buy more with this change, this pocket change? So I guess that was the first like true wake up call that maybe I should be paying more attention to it. But it took me as long as 2017 to actually read the Bitcoin white paper and then like realize that, holy shit, this is everything that I've been looking for. This is everything that, you know, I've been thinking that is wrong in the world and just didn't have any solution to that. So the unstoppable money, unconfiscatable money, it's just completely, I got completely obsessed by this idea in 2017. And yeah, I'll be honest, I had a shitcoin period for about a year there. Very educational, very expensive experience. but yeah, in 2018, I started to gravitate towards Bitcoin maximalism and toxic at that. Started the first Bitcoin association or crypto association in Finland, started making content, YouTube videos and stuff like that. So because I wanted everybody to know about this. And this is when I found out about your book. It was published sometime in 2018. I think I read it in October. So exactly 4 years ago. That book it was very almost a religious experience to me, not because it was all new information. It was just how you connected the dots in that book, the things and the thoughts that I already had. And it's just everything started making sense. And that's when I fell down the Rothbardian rabbit hole and the Austrian rabbit hole. And, you know, I've never read as many books as in 2018, 2019, probably more than before that in my life. So I got obsessed by that idea. Not really like I was expecting from Bitcoin Standard that, okay, this is going to be like one of those great, you know, toxic Bitcoin circle jerks, and I was ready to enjoy it, but it was not actually what I expected in a good way. So actually, I started learning about money and economics and hard money specifically. And then it became clear to me, like after I put the book down, I immediately contacted you on Twitter, like, look, I have to get this information out in Finland, you know, to my family and my friends, and I want to translate that. And that's how Consensus Network got started. We actually, to go back a little bit, Consensus Network was making videos with Max Hillebrand and other content creators. So it was originally just a hub for, you know, Bitcoin educators to make some content. But then after reading your book and after realizing that I actually need a company to acquire the license, and there was a lot of fiat bullshit involved there. So I actually had to start a company in 2019. So that's when Consensus Network, the company, became to life with one license to translate the Bitcoin Standard in Finnish. French literature, French language. I didn't have high expectations that it's going to be like, you know, making money ever. I mean, honestly, it's still not, but it was still surprising how much we sold that book. I think we've sold more than 1,000 copies. in Finnish, which was encouraging. And by the way, thank you for coming to Finland and really helping us release that. That was a big help. Anyway, I got really encouraged that, okay, if I can make this happen in Finland, you know, out of all the places, granted, Finnish people are kind of tech savvy and Bitcoin is quite popular in Finland. But still, I got this feeling like this must be a service that is needed everywhere in the world. And I was right. And in 2020, we got the Portuguese one and we got the Dutch one. And things just kind of snowballed there. You know, I started getting requests from different people, from you also, like, I want this book in my language. And then, you know, did everything I could to get those licenses and help people translate into their language. So from the beginning, everybody's been working on a voluntary basis. So this is another kind of like orange pill moment that I realized this Starfish Enterprise. I read a book called Starfish and Spider, The Unstoppable Power of Leaderless Organizations, which was a great inspiration and made me realize that my role in the Bitcoin educational ecosystem is a catalyst. So I don't really do anything myself. Like, I do a bunch of things. I'm a generalist, but I'm more like enabling other people to do things. People gather around and then just pick up work as they fit, as they see fit, from their own selfish perspective, because they want to translate the book into their language so they can give it to their grandma or whatever. That's been the basis of the whole enterprise from the beginning. And of course, NGU technology, price of Bitcoin goes up, interest goes up, demand for knowledge goes up. Like that was the simplest, and that's still true to this day. So long story short, things got kind of out of hand. We experienced about a 500% growth last year in sales because we've been building our library, and then Bitcoin spiked, interest spiked, and we sold a lot of books and we made a lot of expansion, and we've been doubling our library basically every year. So we now currently have about, I think, 40 titles for sale and maybe another 20 in the works. So yeah, it took me kind of by surprise how successful this kind of operation can be. And it's all because of everybody is working basically voluntarily. Doesn't mean that they won't get paid ever. You know, it's a startup. Like, once we get enough sales, then we can pay everybody. That's the Starfish model. And we will give most of the profits away once we start making profit, which hasn't really happened yet. Last year, we didn't lose money. So that was a big, big thing for us. But yeah, that's by accident in a way. Like, all I wanted to do is tell people about Bitcoin and tell people about your book. And then by accident, I became a publisher. Didn't know anything about the 3 years ago, didn't know anything about publishing. So taught myself to typeset and do covers and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, you've done it very efficiently and successfully. You've published, so you said, 40 books, and that's got to be around 10 languages as well. So you're an international publisher, not just a publisher. I think it's a great testament to the kind of efficiency that you've conducted this business with. So you follow something called the Starfish model. Tell us a little bit more about how that works. I've been really impressed with how it works. And I've worked with traditional publishers who've translated the book, and I've seen your model. And I think in general, the way that you do it is just much faster than the way traditional publishers move. So how does this Starfish model work?
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent question. And, you know, the leaderlessness of a Starfish model doesn't imply there's no leadership or there's no order or hierarchy. It's just that it emerges from kind of like this chaos of different individual wants, and everybody converges on this model because it makes sense to everybody. So the efficiency comes from the fact that people want to do this no matter what. They would do it for free, essentially. And that's the basis, like, because we obviously we didn't have any funding from the beginning apart from what I could put in myself. And that's still true to this day. So we can't pay traditional professional translators, right? And there's actually two reasons, not only the cost, but also the quality. Like, we couldn't do such good quality translations with traditional translation offices because they do not understand Bitcoin. Like, if you're translating books for us, you gotta be the master of Bitcoin. You have to be master of your own language, and you have to be, you know, being willing to do it for free, essentially, which does not really exist in, you know, like this fiat spider organizational model, which has a lot of overhead to get started on anything. We had basically zero overhead. All I had to do is, you know, have my shitty laptop and reply some messages and start some Telegram groups. We have about, you know, 50 to 100. I can't keep track anymore. The point is, everything is kind of like the leadership emerges from within. So people like Edward, for example, they just, hey, you know, I want to translate this. Okay, you know, let's work together. I have this framework where I put like basic instructions, like how to make a book, how to make a translation. And then everybody reads that. Everybody knows what they're going to do. I don't have to supervise that. We do have a project manager, Tibor, who is not today with us here. But yeah, basically it's self-management. Like it relies on people to step up, do the work, not because they think that they're going to get fiat salary, but because they want the information out and they're accumulating reputational and informational capital rather than fun coupons. And of course, it's a nice bonus once we, and I'm confident that we will break even and we will start making profits. So it will be a nice, nice passive income for everybody after that happens.
So the way that it works is what I find fascinating is that, you know, usually I get emails from people emailing me saying, hey, I loved your book. I'd love to have it translated to French or Portuguese so that I can share it with my family and friends. Is there a translation? And these people, you know, they're just sending an innocent email, hoping that I could send them a link so that they can click, have it delivered to their family. And then I rope them in to your organization. I just copy you and tell them, no, there isn't a French copy for so far, or there isn't a Portuguese copy, but Nico would be a great person to work with. And then, you know, we get a few emails from 3, 4, 5 different people. And then each one of them does a couple of chapters and you get in touch with maybe a sponsor, a French company or a Portuguese company that's interested in this. And it's a small amount of effort for each single individual. But with your supervision and with this structure, we end up with the book being done quite efficiently and quickly, right?
Yeah, that is what
I think. Edward had an experience with that, yeah?
Yeah, that's what happened to me last year when you published the Fiat Standard. I reached out to you on Twitter, I think, and you direct me to Nico. And so with Nico, we start to launch a recruit call on Twitter to have like a team of 4 or 5 translators, because it was quite a book to translate the Fiat Standard. So we found 4 or 5 people, and then we started working on it. It took us, I think, 9 or 10 months to go through all the steps from translation to proofreading to editing and to publishing. And then the team was quite efficient, so we decided to expand and to translate more books, such as Tangle for Bitcoin or The Price of Tomorrow. And we just grew naturally from there because all the team was involved and pretty passionate about those books.
Yeah. And, you know, for anybody listening, if you're interested in making any Bitcoin related book available in your language, do get in touch with Nico and Consensus Network. I think it's a great place to do it. Even if you might not have, you know, you might think, oh, I don't have any experience with publishing. I don't have the time. I have a job. There's something you can contribute. You know the language. You can at least do proofreading for a few chapters, announce it to your local Bitcoin community, and then get more people to volunteer, spend time and work on these things. And, you know, the result is that the book becomes available in your language so that you can make it available for everybody who's interested in the book.
Yeah. And to add to that, like, I'm actually extremely pleased and a little bit surprised how well the model works, because, for example, the Dutch Bitcoin Standard, I think the team was 15 people, which is the most that we've had. The smallest contribution was 0.5%, I believe. For proofreading, we don't do that anymore because it's a nightmare for accounting and stuff. But it's doable. Like we just dissect it to as small pieces as needed, and then it was completely self managed. Obviously, I can't read most of the languages. I only know Finnish and English, so I have to rely completely on the Starfish organization and everybody coming in. And of course, the more people and more eyes we have on the work, the more confidence I have that this will be good, because everybody wants it to be good. They don't do it to get paid. They do it to make it good and get the best possible information out. And that's the basis. That's why we don't use hired hands. I mean, we do sometimes, but mostly we shy away from that.
Yeah, and I think the good news, I guess, is that initially it may have not paid off, but looking at the English version of the Bitcoin Standard, sales of the book have gone up every year. So 2022 was the best selling year, better than 2021, which was better than 2020, which was better than 2019, and in turn better than 2018. So I think likely we're going to see this kind of trend happen more and more, you know, as long as Bitcoin keeps on working. It's kind of the way that Bitcoin works. You know, all that Bitcoin does is just, it sits there and does a new block every 10 minutes. And then the world slowly begins to adjust to the reality that Bitcoin is, you know, Bitcoin exists, Bitcoin is there. And, you know, Bution says this phrase, Bitcoin is just there. And you need to adjust to it. And initially you look at it and you think, oh, well, this is silly. Oh, well, this obviously can't work. Oh, well, they're clearly going to shut it down. And yet every 10 minutes, it just keeps doing it. You know, we've had so many politicians, intellectuals, bankers, you know, JP Morgan's CEO, or all of these IMF economists and BIS economists. You know, they've come out with very definitive statements that said, oh, well, this thing can't work and it won't work. And within 10 minutes of that statement, there was a new block. And then 10 minutes later, there was a new block and then another new block. And the monetary policy continues as it is. So this kind of, you know, this intransigence of Bitcoin is what is the selling point of Bitcoin. It's just that, all right, well, all of the bankers and the experts and the politicians and the IMF and all the monetary authorities agree this can't work. Now, here it is. It's working. Meanwhile, let's look at their currencies and see how well that stuff is working. And, you know, particularly over the last few months, it hasn't been working very well at all, pretty much all over the world. So people just become more and more curious about Bitcoin. And that's, I think, going to repeat itself. So yeah, it does involve a heavy, perhaps, investment initially. But then, you know, once the book is made, then I hope, you know, with time, there's not much marginal investment that needs to be made into each one of those translations. And so it's just letting Bitcoin do its thing. And as long as it keeps pumping out the new block every 10 minutes, it's going to keep drawing more attention to those books. And it's going to get more and more people interested.
The syllabus for my new online economics course, Principles of Economics, is now available on saifedean.com. The course will take place over 18 lectures, each based on one chapter from my new book, Principles of Economics, which will be available for free as an ebook for everyone registering for the course. Lectures will be released once every 2 weeks on Mondays, starting on the 25th of September, 2023, and will be available in video and audio format. Live discussion seminars will be held once a week on Thursdays at alternating time slots, 12 hours apart, to ensure learners can attend from all over the world. I'm happy to announce that I have set up my new publishing house and online bookstore, The Safe House, which will be publishing and delivering the best Bitcoin and Austrian economics books worldwide in hardcover, audiobook, and ebook formats. Go to thesafehouse.com to buy my latest book, Principles of Economics, as well as the Fiat Standard and the Bitcoin Standard. And now I'm also publishing Fiat Food, Matthew Lisiak's amazing investigation into how inflation ruined our diet and health. And I'm also publishing Lynn Alden's Broken Money, her masterful exploration of the failures of the global financial system and how Bitcoin fixes it. This is a Bitcoiner's bookshop, so the books are printed in beautiful cloth hardcover made to last, with an ice colored dust jacket on top. Go to thesafehouse.com and get yours now.
Exactly, and those books are going to outlive us all, right? I mean, those paper books, they can survive way longer than we can. So it's actually a great storage of informational value as well. So in a way, our job is already done, kind of like Bitcoin has already won, just takes time. So yeah, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, well, what is your pitch for a Bitcoin author? There's now a lot of Bitcoin books, and a lot of Bitcoin authors are putting out some great books, and we've hosted most of them on this podcast. If I'm a Bitcoin author and I'm considering publishing my book, I have the option of translating it myself, you know, or contracting with a local publishing house in whatever language that I want to publish it in, or why would I want to go with you guys rather than the traditional publishing house? What's your pitch?
Well, first of all, we are Bitcoin only, always have been, always will be. Actually, we've started this year offering our services to original authors as well, Knut Svanholm being the first with his 21 million book. We call it the blanket license. So it's kind of like a white glove service for authors. Okay, so you like to write stuff about Bitcoin and freedom and economics. Great. You probably are not that interested in, you know, publishing and worrying about all that stuff. So you can just send us your, you can sign up with us, send your manuscript over, and we'll take care of everything. Like, we'll publish the original English one. We sell it. We distribute it all around the world. And we translate it in every single language that is available, that there's a demand for, obviously. Like, we don't hire people to break into a market. The market is emergent. So the market always comes to us. So we just do all of that for you. So you can focus on simply the writing. I guess that's like, I think what we're selling here is time. Like, you need more time to focus on the things that you are good at, and it's division of labor. We are good at this. We have a lot of passionate people who just want to do this. So it makes sense to work together in that, in my opinion. And as far as I know, with the traditional publishers, it's quite difficult to get in touch with them, you know, get them into a call or even reply an email. But for us, it's trivial. We are on I'm personally on Telegram like 8 hours every day, maybe more than that. So I'm always within the reach. So you can always talk to me if you have any concerns. We help you with brand management, marketing, the whole nine yards, like whatever you want. If you're just thinking about, well, you have written something in your desk drawer and you're wondering maybe if you could publish it, but you don't want to take the next step, you can just send it to us. We actually have this website called starfish.careers, where you can contact us and become a translator, become an affiliate network seller, or submit your manuscript for our evaluation. And if it fits our agenda, is good, we're just going to publish it, and we're going to offer you the blanket license and onboard you as an author. And also, of course, we don't only offer the full suit. We have all of the parts of it available. So if you want to do, for example, self-publishing English and then do the translations with us, like what we do with you, so if that's all good for us. Like, we can offer you any part of the publication process. So up to what you need. So if you want to save some time, you can just come to us.
Yeah. And I think from my experience with other translators, with other publishers that are mainstream publishers, there's always a kind of culture gap in the translation linguistically, in that I think my experience has been that books that have been translated by consensus, generally, people from that language, when they read it, they have a very positive impression of the quality of the translation and the language, which is usually not the case, or not as much the case, with the books that with the languages where it has been translated by a mainstream publisher. So usually, you know, the mainstream publisher, they have their own agenda, and they hire somebody. Usually, you know, they hire their regular translators who are usually not Bitcoiners. Some of them became Bitcoiners. I know one of the languages, I'm not going to say which one, he had no idea about Bitcoin, but they gave him the book. And then he became a Bitcoiner because of it. And he bought Bitcoin just before the bull market. And he was very happy about it. And then he sent me a couple of copies as a thank you. So yeah, it does have that, of course. But I think the aspect of just having a group of Bitcoiners and having it embedded into the culture of Bitcoin and into the local Bitcoin community. You know, you've got the Dutch Bitcoiners, you know, the Amsterdam meetup people were the ones who were working on translating the book. And they were in their meetups, they'd sit together and they'd discuss, should we translate it with this word? What's the correct word to use for that? Which term should we use? And I think it's great because it's helped the book come into their language in a way that is useful for Bitcoiners. And it's also, I believe, helping develop the language around those things. Like I know in Arabic, when I was dealing with a translation for Arabic, in many of those terms, very few people had ever written about them in Arabic before. And as you dig in, and so it almost becomes like you're setting the standard for what this terminology is going to become over time. And it's better that these people, that these kind of decisions are taken with an open source approach within the Bitcoin community in the local languages.
Absolutely. And that's actually a great point why we want the Bitcoin hobbyists, because they're so passionate. They're the most hardworking people that I ever come across. And they make sure that the language is correct. And oftentimes that actually means that we are inventing words in languages that didn't exist. For example, Finnish, like we are actually defining the new language around this topic because it does not exist. So, you know, I'm kind of very proud of that. And of course, it's a huge responsibility and we'll see where it goes, but at least somebody is laying the groundwork, and it has pinned off. I mean, it has benefited, like, for example, software translation projects or any other kind of Bitcoin related translation projects, because we, like you said, we open source our word lists on every single language. So for every language, we have a word list that we keep updating. So the editors, the translators, whenever there's a difficult word, they put it in the list, and then they come to consensus, and then, you know, it becomes like this vocabulary for that specific language, and that will be available. I don't remember the website now, but maybe I can send it to you later. So actually, you can tap into those resources that we've already done when we translated books like your books or other authors' books, because we already did the groundwork. So now you can use it to translates software or web pages or anything you want to do.
Yeah, and that's a very fascinating thing, that the language is being defined by these translators. So what are the best, what are the books that you've published so far? So we know the Bitcoin Standard, the Fiat Standard, and you mentioned Knut's 21 million book. What other books do you guys have? What do you recommend people dig into?
Well, Nick Bhatia's Layered Money is excellent. I recommend that to everybody. We have it in Portuguese, Dutch, Finnish, and maybe a couple other languages that I'm forgetting. But the Knut Swanholm's 21 Million is also a nice book. I was editing it myself, and I really like it. It's definitely his best book so far. We have it in German and in English, and it's significant because it was our first English book. And I gotta mention that I was blown away by the amount of pre-orders we got in Bitcoin. Like we've been accepting Lightning Bitcoin since 2019. And get this, out of the, I believe we sold 250 or so, or maybe 300 copies upfront from our website. Out of that, 95% was Bitcoin. And out of those, one single order was on chain. Everything else was Lightning. So that was mind blowing to me that we didn't actually make many fiat sales for the pre-sale. The pre-sale was like all Lightning Bitcoin, practically like 95% almost Lightning Bitcoin. So that's also one key thing that we want to do to show people how easy it is to pay for things with Bitcoin, because hodling is nothing. And you know, as itself, saving only makes sense in the context that you're going to spend it at some point, right? So to be able to use Bitcoin already, you know, I think that's a very, very powerful thing that we can teach people. And people always say like, yeah, Lightning doesn't work. Nobody uses Bitcoin. It's not entirely untrue. Like most people don't. But that doesn't mean that it's still not the best medium of exchange that is ever invented. I mean, even today. I mean, if you're going to buy a book, why don't you take advantage of our 10% discount? And instead of buying, $100 worth of Bitcoin, you buy $120 worth of Bitcoin and buy a $20 book with that and take, you know, pocket the 10% discount, you know, like spending is different than depleting. Like you never want to deplete your stack, obviously, but it's still the best way to move around any kind of currency, fiat currencies. It's just a settlement network. So this is very important. And to that end, I got to mention another thing. We're working with Mash. I don't know if you know that. It's like a Lightning content consuming platform that you can actually pay for content using the Lightning Bitcoin. And the first book they did was Magic Internet Money by Jesse Berger, which is also going to be one of our authors. And we saw that when we immediately copied his template, and we launched Knut Swanholm's Everything Divided by 21 Million, which can be found, by the way, 21million.consensus.network. first two chapters are free. And then from there on, you can just buy one chapter at a time. You can boost if you like the content, you can boost and send some sats. It's a custodial wallet, mind you, but that's okay because it's for onboarding. Like they're going to implement credit card payments. So you can actually use a credit card instead of going to our shop and buying the ebook with a credit card. You go to the mass version of the book, top up your Lightning custodian wallet with your credit card, and now you have sats. You read the book, and then maybe you have some sats left over. You read another book, or you can move it to your own wallet from there. So this is our side missions and very important one to actually show people not only that, you know, you should read about Bitcoin, but that you can actually use Bitcoin today and you can actually live on Bitcoin. Not going to be super easy yet. And you need to use all kinds of workarounds, but I think it's very important to show people that you can use Bitcoin. And this is also one of our big selling points for authors, because when you list with us in our shop, then you immediately get access to this Bitcoin payments, Bitcoin discounts, affiliate network. It's kind of all this circular Bitcoin economy that we're trying to build here.
I agree with you. I think I always get accused of saying that Bitcoin is not for spending and that you shouldn't spend your Bitcoin. And I've never told anybody not to spend their Bitcoin. And I've never told anybody what to do with their Bitcoin. In fact, I take Bitcoin on my website. And I think I agree with you entirely. It's an infinitely superior experience to make payments with fiat and credit cards. So on my website, you can pay with fiat credit cards and you can pay with Bitcoin on-chain and Lightning. And we pay about a third of the fees for the processing of the Bitcoin because we have it done through a processor, whereas we pay more on the credit cards and we get a lot more headaches from the credit cards. So there's some fraud and charges and then disputes. And sometimes, you know, the customer doesn't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And we have to both answer to the credit card company over $15 or whatever. And we're not sure why it's taking place. Doesn't quite happen with Lightning. With Lightning, everything is pretty straightforward. I agree with you that it is, it's definitely worthwhile. And I think, you know, as the problems of fiat continue to accumulate, it's just going to become more and more obvious for people that it's just easier to do this. You know, you just click a button and then you move it around. Where I slightly disagree with you, I don't think hodling is nothing. I think hodling is very, very important. I don't think it's, you know, you're not doing nothing by holding your Bitcoin. You know, simply holding the Bitcoin and having a cash balance in Bitcoin is what money is. There are only two things you can do with money, hold it or spend it. And they're both equally important. And holding it, yes, you only hold it so that you could eventually spend it, or, you know, maybe your children will spend it after you. But the holding itself is enormously important. Your life is very different when you know that you're holding a certain sum of money than when you don't. Cash balances are a very important invention. Of course, within the Keynesian century, this has been vilified into just a weird pathology. You know, why would anybody want to hold money? Money is evil. And, you know, you don't need to hold money. Just trust the central bank. Let them print all the money that they have. If you don't hold money, or if your money, the money that you hold is getting devalued all the time, that means that we're pumping the economy and we're making the economy stronger. So there's going to be more employment and more amazing things. This is the stuff that people who benefit from inflation say. In reality, the reason people hold cash balances is because the future is uncertain. We don't know what we're going to be needing into the future. And so you can't just hold the thing. You can't just buy the things that you're going to need into the future today. You want to hold money so that you can buy them and so that you can exchange it for the future. So holding money is pretty important. But yeah, I agree with you. More and more people are going to start spending it as we see, you know, both the inflation problems with fiat, as well, we're witnessing more and more the world is disintegrating into different monetary regions with different arrangements. Bitcoin is going to become, by default, the only way that you can get around all of these restrictions, I think.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. Like my point is that, you know, I don't like the word spending all that much. Like when I moved to Bitcoin Standard, I started thinking everything as an investment, right? So what I mean when I say holding is nothing, obviously it's an overstatement and it's meant to trigger people. It's not nothing. But what I like to talk about is wielding or wielding, which means that you need to make some investments to manifest the future that you want to see for yourself and maybe your grandkids, right? I mean, if you just sit on your stack and wait for everybody else to build it, then what? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. You know, it does take some human action to actually manifest that favorable future that we all want. So instead of just holding, maybe you need to start think about also how you invest not only your stack, or maybe not even your stack at all. This is something that Knut talks about, you know, simply just being helpful to other Bitcoiners, using your informational and reputational capital to further these projects and, you know, education of other people. So that's like you're actually spending your more, subjectively speaking, more scarce asset, which is time, which is even more valuable from an individual perspective than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is obviously objectively scarce, so it's in objective sense it's more valuable. But from a subjective perspective, your time should always be more valuable. And yet, we don't have any shortage of helpful Bitcoiners willing to sacrifice their most scarce asset, time, to further these projects. So there's many ways to invest. It doesn't mean that you have to spend or you have to use or invest your sats, but you have to do something. You have to act. Like if you don't take action and just wait and hold on to your stack, that's kind of nothing.
I'm going to disagree. I think really holding on to the stack is everything. Really, this is a game that is, there's one scoreboard. Like if this was a soccer game, there's one scoreboard, and the scoreboard is how much cash balances exist in all the different currencies. And currently, Bitcoin is at around 0.2%, maybe 0.3% of the global money market. You know, the finish line is when we're at 100. And until we get to 100, we're just trying to stack more value into this. So the way that I see it is the spending happens as the size of the cash balances grow. So if you live in a world in which the total amount of Bitcoin out there is 0.1% of the global money supply, the odds of you wanting to trade with somebody else who also has Bitcoin and wants to trade with Bitcoin are very low. You know, if you sell tomatoes, one out of 1,000 people who buy tomatoes from you are going to be a Bitcoiner. So if you sell Bitcoin, if you sell tomatoes for Bitcoin, one out of 1,000 of your clients is going to be selling Bitcoin. Now, in my case, in my website, and in the case of your website, it's obviously much higher than the average for the population because we're targeting a Bitcoin audience. So within our target market, the size of the Bitcoin cash balances is significantly higher than what it is for society. And that's why, because people have more cash balances, you know, out of the average, say 100 customers of my website or yours, you could say that maybe something like 30% of their cash balances probably are in Bitcoin on average. Some have 100, some have 1%, but let's say 30 or 50% of their cash balances are in Bitcoin. And since your website and my website are also holding on to Bitcoin, it does make sense for the trade to take place in Bitcoin. But in order for that to have happened, you know, both the buyer and the seller need to have significant Bitcoin balances. So over time, what needs to happen is that we need to have more and more cash balances in Bitcoin in order for people to start trading. You know, I think it's very good that people trade with Bitcoin. Obviously, I think it's good that they pay with it. And I think it's obviously enormously convenient. And, you know, I encourage people to do it just because it's much easier than dealing with the nonsense of credit cards and banks and chargebacks and all that stuff. But realistically, I don't think it's a failure of Bitcoin, the fact that the vast majority of people are still paying with their dollars and with their fiat. It's just the vast majority of things that I buy, I'm buying from no coiners. And the vast majority of things that I, well, not in my case, but in the case of most other people, the vast majority of the things that they sell, they are also selling to no coiners. So what needs to happen is that those no coiners need to have big stacks of Satoshis so that those no coiners can then trade. So I wouldn't say it's not nothing. Like simply building up your cash balances in Bitcoin, increasing the size of your stack in Bitcoin, is the precondition and the necessary step in order for you to start being able to accept payment with Bitcoin. Because otherwise, if you don't have a significant stack in Bitcoin, then you're effectively trading every single time that you carry out a deal with Bitcoin. You know, if you get paid in Bitcoin, now your Bitcoin position goes up a lot, but then by the end of the week or the month, you spend all of that money. Effectively, you've just been, it's like you're trading on an exchange where you're doing margin trading on the price of Bitcoin. You know, it depends on when you buy and when you sell. But once your cash balance is in Bitcoin predominantly and you're using Bitcoin as your money, You know, once you start thinking about your wealth as being denominated in Bitcoin, you know, how many Bitcoins do I have versus how much dollars do I have? Then in that world, you're far more likely to engage in trading Bitcoin. So, you know, we agree about a lot, but I think maybe the terminology is a little bit different here.
Yeah, I think we agree. It's just that, you know, I like to think that spending is more important than hodling. I guess that's the thing that we disagree on. You think it's vice versa. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't have a problem with your position either. But I will say this, like, for example, in Madeira, like we're working to onboard merchants here. And there's this place called Madeira Climbing Center, which is my favorite place in Madeira. I just went there last week. Actually, there's this nice girl, Maria, who is in the reception. And I was paying for my stuff. And I just casually mentioned that, oh, by the way, do you take Bitcoin? And that's how the, you know, half an hour long conversation started. I taught, you know, her how to install a Bitcoin wallet. I sent her some Bitcoin. I spent some Bitcoin. So now I made a Bitcoin hodler by spending Bitcoin. You know what I mean? You know what I did there, right? So this is key. And I think this is even more important than to get people to read books. You know, I think that's the next step that people take once they have the Bitcoin, because just like myself, I got the experience. I didn't know anything about Bitcoin. I just wanted to buy something. Bitcoin provided me that utility. So I used Bitcoin. I didn't care. It just provided me the service that I needed. And then later, after accidentally holding it and realizing that it goes up in value, NGU technology, then I became, you know, more interested in. I was hodler, but it wasn't a conscious action. It came to being through spending.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that they kind of both lead to the same direction. It's at the end of the day, it's the Bitcoin black hole, and it just absorbs everything and everybody. Yeah, the roads may differ, but the destination is one.
Yeah.
So tell us more about Madeira and what's going on with Bitcoin in Madeira.
Oh, happily. I'm so excited about Madeira. Like, I moved here about a year ago. At that time, we didn't have the Free Madeira Association, which came to life a couple months back. Had a huge roster of awesome Bitcoiners coming here for a week. You know, we met all the politicians and the president a couple times and you know, talked about how we're going to make this the Bitcoin island of Europe, basically. Because, you know, as probably your viewers and listeners are aware, that most people are looking for options. Like, where is the least worst place to park yourself for this, you know, upcoming turbulence? And if you want to stay in Europe, I can't recommend any other place than Madeira. It comes really, really highly on my list. I got here kind of like by accident. By my friend Madeira pilled me. He had his own intentions because he was moving away and wanted somebody to take over his apartment. So here I am. Fell in love with the island right away. I came here with my son. We were like 2 months and I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, I don't want to even go anywhere else. So moved my family here and then met Andre, who is doing the Portuguese books, where we are actually merging with our efforts with his Monstera books. So we're gonna take care of all the Portuguese ones for him. So that's gonna be awesome. That was also a funny story. Practically, he was accidentally my neighbor. We didn't know about each other. We were both translating Bitcoin books in Portuguese. I had the Bitcoin Standard, and he had basically all the other books. And then we found out that we actually are almost next door neighbors. So that was pretty funny. And Andre has been doing amazing job orange pilling the president, taking him to Miami. And probably you also saw him there. Not sure about that. But
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, I'm not a huge fan of state and I'm not a huge fan of politicians. But he's so far, by the far, my favorite politician that I've ever met.
Yeah, I did meet him as well in Miami. He did come to my dinner there. And it's fascinating what they're doing because they do have some degree of autonomy in Portugal. And they're also quite international in that they attract a lot of tourists. So Bitcoin does make sense in that context. And we have Daniel as well here, who's part of, who's also been to Madeira and is also helping that. And I'll reveal here that Andre and Daniel found a way to get me to send a copy of my book translated in Portuguese to Cristiano Ronaldo. And so I signed a copy to him and I signed it myself and we sent it. And I hoping that it got to him. If we can orange pill Cristiano Ronaldo, I think it'll be a very big one for Bitcoin, because he is from Madeira, and he is basically the most important, most world known thing that Madeira has ever done. He's, you know, the word put Madeira on the map is probably put a place on a map. Probably nobody put a place on the map as much as Ronaldo put Madeira there. I think the vast majority of people had never heard of Madeira before hearing about Cristiano Ronaldo, and it was almost miraculous that he made it, because when he was young, it's not a place where they have a great football team or they have such a great culture of football, but he made his way to Lisbon and then made his way to the top of the game. A little bit of a Bitcoiner outsider story to make it all so far to the top, coming from nowhere. Let's hope he does manage to grab the book and read it and fall down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. And we're doing everything we can. And yeah, Dan is also part of the Free Madeira, the board of directors or whatever you want to call it. Basically, we're just a bunch of Bitcoiners from our selfish needs, try to get more Bitcoiners to come in here. But actually, it's not that much of an effort, because people just keep coming in by themselves and they'll keep falling in love with the island. And, you know, the tax is at the moment is still 0%. It's perfectly legal to use Bitcoin. So all we have to do is just make it a little bit better. And it's not that difficult. Like I said, I just went to my favorite place that I like to go climbing, and basically orange pilled them. And this is what happens. Like when we go with Bitcoiners, we go to a cafe, we orange pill them, we go to a restaurant, we tip the waiters, and this is how we spend our lightning sats and spread the orange seeds. And suddenly it's like it becomes kind of like an ultimate voucher. Like if your business accepts Bitcoin and you get this kind of like Bitcoin Satoshi voucher, this is probably how the regular people would see it. So you can use the voucher in certain shops that will be listed in, for example, Free Madeira website. And we have this catalog when you come to the island, and then you can find all the places that you can use these coupons, these Satoshi coupons. So basically we could offer like discounts, for example, or the merchants could offer discounts in form of like Satoshi or Satoshi cashback, which is something that a lot of internet companies are doing. Just one way to spread the awareness. But again, the spending is the key here, because people want to be able to buy the services that they want. They're not really interested, because of the fiat culture or decades of fiat culture, they're not really interested in like, oh, I'm going to save this money and I'm going to invest. No, none of that stuff. So to be able to break through, have to have this experience, flawless experience of spending and getting what you want with Bitcoin. And then you become an accidental hodler, and then rest is history.
Yeah, very true, very true. Daniel, you want to tell us about your experiences with Madeira?
Yeah, sure, guys. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an awesome place, and I'm really looking forward to getting back there and safe. We still have our fingers crossed that the book is going to land in Ronaldo's lap. The last update I had, it had been passed along to the president, or at least some of his cabinet, those government officials that would be in the know when he next visits the island, or can at least get to his family, or will invite him and present it to him. So fingers crossed, but I've not heard any definite news as to whether he's got it in his hands yet, but it would be amazing.
It tears my heart to be doing this as a Liverpool fan, but I must do it. And I must say, like the dedication that I wrote to him in the book, I got to translate it to Portuguese by Andre, and then I wrote it to him. And this is something that I thought before I even said it. I'm not just saying it because I'm trying to orange pill him. I said it even on the podcast with Lex Friedman when he hosted me, that, I mean, he broke the world record for how much professional goals anybody has ever scored. And he's done it by playing 20 years at the top of the game. And he's won the European Championship with Portugal. And he's won the league in Italy and England and Spain, and won the Champions League five times, I think, maybe six. So like, I think there's a very strong case to be made that he is the greatest player ever. And it tears my heart to be saying that about a Manchester United player. But I think it's just, you have to admit it. Like he's been there for 20 years. It's been since 2003. I remember when he made his debut for Manchester United. He was incredible as a young little 17-year-old. And here he is 20 years later still knocking the goals in.
And I remember when we introduced you to President Albuquerque at your dinner in Miami. That was what you went straight to that. There was the he's like, yeah, I love your book. He's like, now listen, I want to talk to you about Ronaldo. He's the best player that's ever.
I mean, I don't know anything else about Madeira, let's face it.
Yeah.
Well, oh man, you got to come here.
Yeah, I do.
Exactly. Right, yeah, so I should throw a question or two at Nico. So yeah, two-barrel question. One for the plebs who might be listening. What languages do you need help with and how should people get in touch with you? Or is there an absolute language that you're missing that you want to cover? And shout out to the authors. What's the one book, top of your list, that you would just love to have the rights to either translate or get out there in your people's hands?
Those are some great questions. At the moment, we have the most shortage in the Portuguese, and I'm talking about the not Brazilian Portuguese. We have a team for that. Also a big market. So actually all of the teams, we are always accepting more new translators. But at the moment, since we're merging with Monstera, we actually don't have a big Portuguese mainland team. So if you're interested in translating books into original Portuguese, that's probably the way we need most people. Another language maybe is German, which is a new market we opened. And Spanish, I think we're going to need more hands on the deck there. That seems like it's going to be taking off. French, it is doing a wonderful job there, but we always need more. Like this scales basically infinitely because there's an infinite amount of human ingenuity and new books coming. And we are signing these blanket licenses left and right. So there's going to be there's already actually quite a bit of backlog of all those books. For example, we signed up with Alex Svetsky's Uncommunist Manifesto. That one is a new blanket license, so we can just put it out as soon as we find the teams. But also, even we have the teams for most of the languages. They're already working on, you know, Fiat Standard, Principle of Economics, other books like that. And to your second question, what would be the greatest book to have? My personal favorite Bitcoin book ever is Crypto Economics by Eric Voskuil, which I believe that he's offering it free for anybody to translate. So we don't even necessarily need to do that. But that's the book that I like a lot about explaining the praxeology of Bitcoin in a non-religious way, actually very neutral. And yeah, well, I mean, Bitcoin Standard is obviously still the Bitcoin Bible, and I already got 10 licenses for that. So that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. I don't think that those network effects are going to be put away anytime soon. Shout out to Jeff Booth and Price of Tomorrow. That's something that we've been working on. We just released it in French. We're working on it for Finnish and Dutch. So if you are interested in that particular book, get in touch with us. We'll try to get that license. I think that's probably one of those like Bitcoin books without being a Bitcoin book that we need to break into the regular market, because the way I see it, we are selling to Bitcoiners who are trying to orange pill their friends. Regular people are simply not picking up the Bitcoin books as of now. So I feel like there's a great untapped market, and these kind of like Bitcoin books without being a Bitcoin books are the way to break through that market, in my opinion. And by the way, Dan, your book is in that category as well. So really happy to have it in our shop available. And that's something that we're looking to add more as well, you know, like self-improvement, economics in general, liberty. You don't have to have the Bitcoin brand and the Bitcoin name in the book necessarily for it to be Bitcoin book, basically what I'm saying. But yeah, we'll take care of any Bitcoin book, as long as there's no shitcoining, there's shady stuff, and you know, it's good enough. I will say that there's quite a few like these entry level books that basically tell the same story over and over again. There's a limited market, in my opinion, for those. So at the moment, and what I have to also mention, we have this new author, Joni Appelberg, who's making Knut Swanholm's videos. I'm editing his book right now. It's about Bitcoin philosophy, called The Abundance Through Scarcity. Really, really high hopes for that book. I think it actually might turn out to be three books once we're done with the editing. But this kind of like more in-depth philosophical, maybe economical, physical, mathematical treatises about Bitcoin and freedom and economics. That's like where I want to be. That's where I want the consensus network to profile, not necessarily just we're just going to publish everything. We also want to really curate the best possible Bitcoin content. And since, I mean, we kind of have to, because honestly, we're getting so many requests of publishing different books that we kind of have to start to pay more attention to that. But basically, yeah, the basic idea is that we'll publish anybody's book as long as it's Bitcoin related, and we'll do all the languages as long as we find the team to do that translation.
Can I have one follow-up?
Yeah, sure.
You were talking about making a profit earlier. Obviously, startups in the Bitcoin space, they need support. Are you finding support? Are you raising? Would you be interested in accepting funds if somebody came to you and offered you some help in the form of an investment for a percentage of the company?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, we opened for outside investment just this year. 20% of the company is up for grabs. So if you're interested in our model and want to support us, that will be the most welcome, because it will take a lot of pressure from the, you know, producing new stock, which is the main expense that we have. And of course, the payroll that we've had since last year, since things got kind of crazy last year. So we do have a little bit higher expense structure than we did in the beginning when it was just me and my laptop. Now it's a much bigger operation. So yeah, it's a positive problem to have. Yes, we're looking for partners and investors.
Cool. Well, good luck and thanks for what you're doing. And yeah, I'm humbled that you chose my book as well to be sold on there alongside Saif's and everybody else's. Congrats, man, and all the best of luck. Thanks, Saif.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks.
All right, we have one more question from Dorian.
Yeah. So my question is about the future of Bitcoin in Portugal, considering that is in the EU country. So like, I mainly work in the residency business. I'm an analyst there. So for example, Malta has a citizenship by investment program, and it's got a lot of pressure from EU bureaucrats to cancel it because it's against their centralized agenda. And now Portugal has, for a couple of years, tax-free on Bitcoin. And Madeira is putting his legal tender, right? So do you think there will be a big pressure on Portugal and Madeira to cancel Bitcoin project?
Yeah, thanks for the question. First of all, let me just correct something. There's no way there's going to be a legal tender. Bitcoin is not going to be legal tender in Madeira because it's part of EU. So they will have to abide by the EU rules. And I see EU collapsing before adopting Bitcoin standard. So that's probably not going to happen, but it doesn't need to happen as long as it's legal, like as long as it's not illegal and as long as it's taxed at least reasonably. 0% to me seems the only reasonable tax percentage. Which it is now, of course, that's subject to change. But to answer your question, I do see a lot of resistance coming from this, especially when we go public. And I think the announcement is going to be in the Amsterdam conference. So look forward to that. It's going to be big news there. Once that goes out, I fully expect that there's going to be a lot of attacks against the Moreiran president and, maybe us, and because people don't like when feathers are ruffled. But it's not like all we are doing basically is trying to further the technological advances of this island, which they've been doing by the way, from the 80s already. Like, it's a great place for expats and remote workers already. That has been in their agenda since the 80s. So this is just extension to that. This is just the next step that you can take. Just, support more Bitcoin, make this Bitcoin an option. It's not going to be like, I don't like legal tender, let's be clear. Because legal tender is forcing other people to adopt a certain monetary standard. And that's not what I think Bitcoin is about. It's an option. Like, you don't have to use it. You can use it as long as it's not banned. So that's all we want. And all we're trying to do is just make it a little bit more hospitable and more easy for more Bitcoiners come here, take their businesses here. I'm moving my business, the publishing business here. Yeah, we are serious about building this into a Bitcoin-friendly island. But it's true, like, we're still in the EU, we're still in the fiat standard. You've got to keep your options open because you don't know what the regulation is going to say tomorrow. So there is some concerns in that. But that's true for everywhere in Europe. So I maintain that Madeira is probably the least worst place to be in Europe right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree. Because last year I was in Portugal living, and I was looking out for the Plan B residency there. So we will see how that goes. But Madeira is still on the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, you can have the, if you're not from Europe, you can have the golden visa via investment. I happen to know that there's already been real estate sold in Bitcoin that has been facilitated. So it's all really there, and it's already available and possible. And especially if you're from Europe, it's really easy to move here with the NHR, for example, non-habitual residence. It doesn't really cost all that much, maybe a grand in fees or something like that, and consultancy. And you can just move here if you're European. If you're not outside European, you might have to make the investment, but it's still a possibility. Like Bitcoin has nothing to do with that. That's already like people are doing that just because it's so nice, such a nice place to live. And Bitcoin is just bonus.
Excellent. Also, Edward mentioning your booths in the conferences. Do you want to tell us more about where people can find you physically?
Yeah, absolutely. So we will go to the Amsterdam conference in a couple of weeks. So if people want to buy the Bitcoin standard or the Fiat standard in English or in Dutch, they can come to us there. We will also be in Edinburgh for the UK conference. I believe it's a week after the Amsterdam one. And Nico will go to the Prague conference, which is called Liberty in Your Lifetime, I think.
Yeah.
I will be selling also some Bitcoin books there. So
what are the dates for these conferences?
Amsterdam, I think it's 12 to 14 of October,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I think the UK one and the one in Prague is the week after, so 21st, yeah.
Yeah, and 21st to 24th, I believe. They are at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be personally in Prague. I'll be talking about Starfish organizations for the free cities. One of my favorite topics, and I'll be selling some books there.
Excellent, fantastic. All right, well, Nico, do you have any other any things you want to add? And where can people find Consensus Network, and what can they do to stay in touch? You have a mailing list or anything you want to shill?
We don't have a mailing list yet. We just started gathering it this year. We have kind of like a very strict privacy policy that we try to abide to. So we basically delete all the customer information as soon as we don't need it anymore. So we don't really, we just enabled that in our shop that you can opt in, but we don't really have many names there. So no newsletter or anything like that. So the best way to get in touch with us is ConsensusN on Twitter. Same also in Telegram. You can always email me directly, nico@consensus.network. Find me on Twitter, Omnifin, double N at the end. Same in Telegram. I'm always there, like I said. Those are the best ways to contact me, or if you want to work with us, want to publish with us, you can go to starfish.careers. If you want to see our library, you can go to bitcoinbook.shop. That's a new domain that we have, basically just redirects to consensus.network. But that's where you find all of our current books in different languages. And yeah, as I mentioned, the first MASH book, which you should definitely look at and maybe help us develop it further, is 21million.consensus.network. So that's how you can read Knut's new book using Lightning payment. So definitely check that out. Let us know what you think. We are definitely going to make all of our books available in this format. It just takes a little bit of time so we can convert those. I guess that's pretty much it.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nico. And thanks to everybody else for joining. And look forward to getting more of your books out there and more of my books translated to more and more languages.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure.
And best of luck on everything that you do.
Thank you, Saif.
Thank you, Saif. Pleasure.
Cheers. Cheers. Bye-bye.